Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to find out how an antioxidant precursor, NAC, N-acetylcysteine, could improve brain function in patients with multiple sclerosis. Now, this is a naturally occurring molecule, N-acetylcysteine, and it shows strong benefit in a clinical trial. Thomas Jefferson University published in the peer-reviewed journals of Frontiers in Neurology. You haven't seen it, haven't heard it anywhere else in the mainstream media. We take the time to find you quality studies, always from peer-reviewed journals, always from respected institutions, that shows that, yes, complementary and alternative health care, prevention and medicine should be what we're using first and foremost. I'm saving for tomorrow an in-depth investigative report on Wikipedia. It's finished. It'll be in three parts. I'll be doing the first part because I did a philosophical approach to the subject of why we choose to trust and believe authority figures without first validating the accuracy, objectivity, and fairness of what they're saying. Then the second part will be done by Richard Gale on the actual science in the peer-reviewed literature. Thousands of articles, not just a few, on the quality of the American diet being so bad. And the last part will be the legal challenge by Victoria, who is our special counsel just on Wikipedia, on challenging Stephen Barrett on the inaccuracies of his claims about the quality of the American diet being so good and not having any diseases associated with diet. Could you imagine that? And yet he's the so-called authority figure. So we'll have three ways of looking at this. And why is this important? Why should you be concerned? Because when you go to Wikipedia, trusting the information is good. Anything on complementary alternative medicine is already biased because they all rely upon Stephen Barrett. So we're deconstructing everything he's ever written. Thus far, we have about 500 challenges to him that we're going to do over the next 2 years until everyone, at least in this audience, understands, walk away from Wikipedia. That's tomorrow, because it's going to take a little time to do. Today, we're going to do a couple things. One is I'm going to ask you a question. Let's see who knows the answer. First, a man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Who said that? And who said this? Don't be in a hurry to condemn because he doesn't know what you do or think as you think or as fast. There was a time when you didn't know what you know today. And another quote. My alma mater was books, a good library. I could spend the rest of my life reading, just satisfying my curiosity. And finally, who said, stumbling is not falling? So, if you have the answer, hope you do, call us at our talkback number at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Also, we'll be playing some very interesting DVDs today. And if you don't see the DVD, but you hear it, it's because of some things you can't do because of copyright and other things, there's no problem. We're going to hear about 13 corporations. They're big. They're the biggest. And their history, their crimes, and the products they produce. So at some point, we have to ask ourselves, if I'm for reforming the medical system, am I being hypocritical by continuing to use the very products of people that have lied to us, deceived us, and have paid fines into the billions of dollars and yet their reputation is never sullied. I want you to think about that for a moment. It's a 5-minute clip. We're going to play that today. And then we're going to hear from an Indiana teacher fired for posting an article about indoctrination taking place in schools. 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I'd like your feedback on that. Our talkback number is 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. So throughout the show, you'll have an opportunity to call in and share your points of view. If you don't have a chance because you're listening to it in the archives, and most people do, our archive number is 701-719-9976. Even if you don't use the archive, write it down because you never know when you're going to turn on one of the stations that we're carried on all over the world and we're not there. Just like BAI, for 4 weeks we weren't there. We had over 2,000 calls come into Lou Ampanesi. Everyone seems to have her phone number. And say, what happened to Gary? He's not on. And she says, didn't you write down the number? No. Well, so let's get a little smarter than what we were yesterday. Let's write down this number. Because this will always have the show on it. 701-719-9976. That's our archive. But live, 774-337-6068. 774-337-6068. This is an important study. It's important because we're looking for pieces to the puzzle of health. N-acetylcysteine, that's, let me spell it for you, the letter N-A-C-E-T-Y-L, that's acetyl, cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E, or better known as NAC, is a naturally occurring molecule that replenishes antioxidants and shows improved brain metabolism and cognitive function improvement in patients with multiple sclerosis. The study found improvements in brain metabolism, particularly in areas that support cognition, such as the frontal and temporal lobes, and that's important to know also. In addition, patients reported qualitative improvements in their cognition and attention focusing ability. They didn't lose their focus. They could hold on to something in their mind longer. And this was done at the Department of Integrative Medicine, Nutrition Sciences, as well as the Departments of Neurology and Radiology at Thomas Jefferson University. Let's face it, the current treatments for multiple sclerosis are generally limited to trying to slow progression of the disease by preventing new brain lesions from occurring. However, these approaches do not, I repeat, they do not help the neurons that have already been affected by the disease process. And while the primary event of multiple sclerosis results from an immunological process that targets the white matter, the actual damage to neurons may be due to, in large part, oxidative stress caused by the immune reaction. So, we'll talk a little later on about multiple sclerosis. And if there are any of the people in this audience who've undergone my protocols, who've reversed, are totally cured, let's spell it, C-U-R-E-D, cured of their multiple sclerosis, that the doctors and the neurologists says were not possible, call us on our talkback line, 888-874-4888, because we need to hear your stories. There are a lot of you out there. Let's see who calls in, because I'm going to add something into this N-acetylcysteine, because they were all taking as part of their protocol the N-acetylcysteine. Now, from Brigham and Women's Hospital, an article about blood pressure. If you can control your blood pressure, keep it normal, you can extend your lifespan up to 3 years. That's correct, 3 years. And that is particularly important if you're a person suffering from cardiovascular risk, as millions are. Just give you one example. Just today, a report just came out from the CDC showing that, are you ready for this? 40% of all U.S. adults are obese. 40%. That's 4 out of every 10 adults are obese. And how many are overweight, which is also a risk factor for cancer, cardiovascular disease, and diabetes? Almost 80%. So you talk about putting ourselves at risk and not doing the right thing. So when I mentioned that only 3.5% of all Americans are consciously every day making choices to keep themselves healthy and prevent disease, now you start seeing with these figures how they come together. Because if you're overweight, you're going to die sooner. You're far more susceptible to disease. If you're obese, you're really in trouble. And then we have morbidly obese. So that's a big number. That's huge. And it's growing. It's getting worse. That's not good. Also today, and again, the solutions are simple. The mindset to get you the solutions are the challenge. I just saw from the National Universities of Singapore, as well as Antonio D'Amelio University, that means the Philippines and Singapore, testing coconut oil, what I mentioned 2 days ago, as a possible treatment for the coronavirus. So I'm suggesting people every day take 1 teaspoon in the morning after you brushed your teeth, after you've cleaned your tongue of bacteria that accumulated overnight, and gargle for 60 seconds with coconut oil, then swallow it down. First, it helps you with gingivitis. It helps you with periodontal inflammation. It helps you with infection in around the gums and teeth. And it kills bacteria and viruses in the esophageal channel that goes from the mouth down to the stomach. And it stimulates immune system. It's a very good fat. So that's one thing we can do. There are others I'm going to tell you about a little later. But that's good research. Good for them for doing that research. Also, from the University of Toronto comes a study about the low-fat, low-free fruit intake creates a high body fat, and that is linked to anxiety disorders. Put into lay language, this is the Canadian Longitudinal Study on Aging, very respected study, very well done, and it shows that adults who have too little fruit, too little vegetables, which is 90% of all adults, both in Canada and the United States, you have a much higher risk of being diagnosed with anxiety disorder. And they're talking about 3 sources of fruits or vegetables daily, and ketchup in the United States, ketchup, is allowed to be considered a vegetable. Wow. But we also know that there are other reasons for anxiety disorders, and the quality of your relationships, marital status, your income, immigrant status, and several health issues all can contribute. But it's, and 1 in 9 women have anxiety disorder compared to 1 in 15 men. So something to think about. Again, it's just information. How we use it is what makes the difference. This was published in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. Every morning in my smoothie, I put 1 tablespoon of tart cherry concentrate. And if for any reason I've run out or I'm traveling and I can't carry that with me, I take the dried tart cherries. And I take what would be about 1/2 cup, and I eat them, or I throw them in the smoothie. Why? Turns off inflammation. But, according to the University of Hertfordshire in the United Kingdom, it does far more. It reduces systolic blood pressure and insulin levels. It lowers your risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes. That's a big deal. So just one single item, the Montmorency, Mont, M-O-N-T, Morency, M-O-R-E-N-C-Y, Montmorency, tart cherries, different from a Bing cherry, can reduce your blood pressure, reduce your insulin levels, and turns off inflammation in your joints. Now, I don't want to assume that everyone understands what metabolic syndrome is. We have a lot of new listeners, and for some reason, I'm not sure why, we've gained about 20,000 new listeners. I mean, like, all at once, just very recently. And so I asked Jesse, I said, where'd they come from? We can't figure it out. Anyhow, metabolic syndrome is a very serious issue around the world, but especially in the United States, because it goes hand in glove with being overweight. Metabolic syndrome is a group of risk factors that can increase your likelihood of developing cardiovascular complications, atherosclerosis, arteriosclerosis, blocked arteries. Now, we all agree in science that the risk factors for metabolic syndrome are high blood pressure, insulin resistance, abdominal, meaning your belly, fat, excessive fatty acids, insufficient good cholesterol, the HDL, and your age, your family history of metabolic syndrome, and your lack of physical fitness. All of those are risk factors. So if you know that you have a family history where they're overweight, then understand it's not genetics, it's familial patterns of behavior. Where I came from, it was considered bad manners to leave food on the plate. The trouble is, no one said how much food you're supposed to put on a plate. So it was not uncommon for me, and I still am, I eat very little. People are amazed how I can keep a body weight of 185 pounds at almost 6'2", and be as athletic because I have very low body fat. Ask Luann, what is my, and I give her permission to tell people, what is my percentage of body fat? It'll surprise you. Because I used to get it taken every single week. But the more body fat you have, the closer to death you are. It's that simple. I don't want to sugarcoat it. If you're fat, you're going to die much sooner, much, much sooner. So let's start loving ourselves and caring of ourselves. And one way is not get metabolic syndrome. We can reverse it. We can prevent it. In fact, 23% of all adults in the United States alone are diagnosed with metabolic syndrome. Think of the people who haven't been tested, so they would be diagnosed if they were tested, just like high blood pressure. Not everybody has their blood pressure tested. But for those who do, we have an astronomical percentage of our people between diabetes diagnosed, about 26 million more or less, and undiagnosed, closer to 60 million, you're dealing with almost 100 million people with diabetes or prediabetes that are going to become diabetic. I would say that if we tested everyone, all adults, your metabolic syndrome rate would be closer to 50% of all adults. That's why our life expectancy is decreasing. And we keep saying that look for the drug, look for the drug. No, don't look for the drug. Look for things you can do that are easy and expensive. This was published in the Journal of Functional Medicine. So here we come to tart cherries. Now, I could mention 20 other foods that could lower your blood pressure and your diabetes risk, but that'll be on a different show. So eat tart cherries. Drink the juice of tart cherries, and better still, the concentrate, because you're getting more of it, the anthocyanins. That's especially important for isolated systolic hypertension because they go hand in hand with metabolic syndrome. Supplementing with vitamin D improves the lifespan of cancer patients. Michigan State University did this study. And they say in this study that I'm reading right now, we know, you know, from what I've been sharing for years, that vitamin D aids your heart health, improves your immune function, enhances bone strength, and creates new bone tissue. In fact, in our first part of our anti-aging study, every single one of the 13 people who showed major, unbelievable improvements, and it was objective, it was in the actual blood, and we've added one new measurement we're taking because the test just became available for it, and that is, well, I actually can't discuss it because it's part of the protocol, but we're adding in a new marker for aging that until now has not been confirmed. Now it is confirmed, so that's 67 different objective markers, meaning we take it at the beginning and day 60, and if there's a change, more than 5% is statistically significant. We had changes upwards of 30%. But the one change that I will mention, in all 13 people who succeeded, there were some who didn't, two who dropped out. One unfortunately dropped out because they had never had an intention to do it. And they told me as they were living in a car, that poor soul in Sedona. But they've got a lot of other people they can hang out with who are living in Duluth as well. What a town. Wow. People think they go there to heal. No, they don't. You know, if there is a heaven and there is a hell, Sedona is purgatory. In any case, for a lot of reasons that I'll get into later, because I actually met the people and lectured, and boy, was I disappointed. In any case, the people who call themselves the spiritual ones, that's another topic. I see a lot of that. In fact, one day, remind me to tell you the story of one of the most popular selling books of the 1970s and how it actually occurred. No one knows this story. But I do because I was the one and I was the one who created it, but someone else stole it, and I'm not having a problem explaining that this time, and became a very famous feminist, but we'll get with that on another occasion. In any case, vitamin D improves the lifespan of cancer patients, but it also strengthens the bones. So every single person, in fact, one person, 94 years of age in the study, she had severe osteoporosis. She had major bone loss. Her doctor was very concerned because when you have that much bone loss, you can just sit down in a chair and your hips start to crack and break. You can just be standing there and spontaneously a leg breaks, a femur breaks. People think you fell and broke something. No, it broke and you fell because of it. And then you end up with these massive internal inflammations, which kill most of the people. She came back with a seven measurement on the bone density, which meant that she grew new bone throughout her whole body. There's no medication that could do that. There's no drug. And at 94, yeah, it happened. And all the people that succeeded. You know, I just want you to start taking your vitamin D. Oh, and by the way, from Nanjing University of Traditional Chinese Medicine, an article published in the Journal of Clinical Acupuncture and Moxibustion, acupuncture can stop bone deterioration in osteoporosis. How about that? So all good. Oh, one last one from Sichuan University in China, resveratrol, Vera, V-E-R-A, troll, three syllables, resveratrol, promotes new bone formation in this model of osteoporosis, and all the people were on high doses of resveratrol. So it's not voodoo science. It is state-of-the-art applied science. There's basic science and applied science. We're not doing basic. We're doing applied. We're way beyond that. Basic science is linear. It's reductionistic. Where we're at is quantum science, quantum healing. So that's good news. All, and just for everybody who's got problems with that, and stop drinking your sugary drinks because you're creating American Heart Association. Lipid imbalances, which increase your risk for cardiovascular disease. This was published in the Journal of the American Heart Association. So these 12-ounce energy drinks loaded with sugar increase the bad cholesterol and decrease your high-density lipoprotein, making you more susceptible to dying of a heart attack or having a stroke. So there you have it. The latest on health and healing, and the reason I always spell the words, just so you know, is because we have people listening all over the world. And English is not their first language. But if I spell it out and they ask me to, please spell this out and that out so I can understand it. And I do that so then they can write it down and then research it on their own. And I always cite the scientific publications because we have a lot of doctors and scientists listening and professors, and they want, where'd you get that information? And I want to share that this is peer-reviewed literature. So that is the last thing. And I mentioned earlier about being overweight creating an increase in psychoses and anxiety disorders, and psychosis is one of them. Well, Toronto Center for Addiction and Mental Health just came out with a study that antipsychotic medication in and of itself is linked to adverse changes in your brain structure. We've been saying this for a long time, and nobody took it seriously. But now, as of today, in the first-of-its-kind study using advanced brain imaging techniques, a commonly used antipsychotic medication was associated with potentially adverse changes in brain structure. Now, this was the first in humans to evaluate the effects of this type of medication using a gold standard design, a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial, and the results were published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Psychiatry Journal. So you don't get better than that. Double-blind, placebo-controlled study, published in peer-reviewed literature, the best at the top, and done at a major institution. So will you see this in the ads on television, on CNN, that pays Anderson Cooper and other people like him's paycheck to dispense misinformation, or let's say corporate-friendly information, and all the people over on all the networks? No, you're not going to see any challenge against the antipsychotic medication, and that's unfortunate, because you should. You now know about it. There are other ways of dealing with this problem of anxiety. And in my next hour, I'm going to be on our sister station, WBAI, where I've been for 44 years, and I'm going to talk about that in depth, natural approaches to depression and anxiety disorder. But you have it first here. Now, let's go over, and I'm going to take a look to see, did anyone call in? Let's see. No. Also, Jesse just said that the stream was having a little glitch in it, so we'll do that. You can watch those tomorrow. In any case, nobody knew who made those calls? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you who made these quotes. A man who stands for nothing will fall for anything. Malcolm X. Don't be in a hurry to condemn because he doesn't do what you want, do what you think. And as fast, there was a time when you didn't know what you do today. Malcolm X. My alma mater was books, a good library. Malcolm X. And stumbling is not falling. Malcolm X. Too bad that we don't have programs today taking... In fact, you know something, Jesse? Just an idea. Why don't we try to find all of the publicly available information on Malcolm X and put it together into a weekly show and work with his family and some of his biographers. I think that's needed because he had a lot to say, and those of us who were listening appreciated it. There were times when I disagreed with him completely, but he had a transformation later in life, and I think it's important. So we'll go there. In fact, when I was speaking with Mrs. King, Martin Luther King's wife, she had cancer, terminal cancer. And unfortunately, she was wanting to know would I endorse a place she was going to in Mexico. I said, no, to the contrary, don't go there. Unfortunately, she went there. But I should have asked her at the time, would you do a weekly show on Martin Luther King, just taking his statements that we could read or his information we could cite. It's an idea. We're now in a position we can do that. In any case, we're going to take a break. We are almost 30 minutes halfway through our program. We're going to come back. We have a lot to share with you, so please stay with us. We'll be right back. Nice to have you all with us today. I'm Gary Nall. We can play the audio part of those until we fix the glitches. At least you'll hear the information. Last call, if you have been impacted in a positive way with the protocols for multiple sclerosis, give us a call, 888-874-4888. We'll come to you, if anyone calls in, right after this, because I think it's very important. This is only a five-minute clip. It's called 13 Corporations, and they control virtually 90% of the pharmaceuticals that we take, and we're not asking the following questions. Do we really need these? Is there any other approach to helping it? Can we get a generic version of a drug at a discount price, deep discount price, instead of overpaying the astronomical amount that we pay for medications? Can we see the follow-up studies once a drug has been approved by the FDA and its rubber stamp committee, all from the pharmaceutical industry saying, yes, we want this drug, it's safe, to see what a five-year surveillance says about the drug once it's in the market? Had we done that, Vioxx would have been taken out immediately instead of killing at least 60,000 people. It's more like 100,000. And I was just asked by one of our listeners here, will I comment upon Cuba and socialism? When we come back from this clip, I'll comment on Cuba socialism and try to dispense more information that makes sense than what everyone is doing by trying to red bait Bernie Sanders and try to undermine the idea that if you give something for free, that it's going to take money out of someone else's pocket. There's a lot of misinformation out there, and most of it's from the candidates themselves. Yes, I will address that today. So we're going to go to this clip because I believe that we should have what they have in Switzerland and other countries. They're looking for natural, non-toxic approaches to help conditions because we all know it's a matter of scientific fact. We're over-medicated, especially our children and senior citizens. We're looking at symptomatic suppression rather than getting to the underlying core. Ask any of the nearly 70,000 people I've counseled in my life, all for free. I've never charged a penny. You can blame my mother for that, because she said to me once when I had my first best-selling book, and I took it home, and I met her at the bus station, and I handed her the book, and she said, that's nice. She says, now, what are you going to do if someone asks for your advice? I said, well, I'm going to give it. She says, well, what if they can't afford it? What if you start like everyone else, charging based upon your success? I said, well, I'll still give it. And she said, she just grabbed my hand. She said, Gary Michael, she said, you have a gift. Give it. And that's what I've done ever since. Mothers have so much wisdom. That's why I think everyone loves their mother, or should. Hopefully their mother has treated them like mothers historically have and do. Back in a moment. Now you're going to learn about pharmaceutical companies.
In our society, we often correlate legality with safety. We use household products, spray pesticides, and religiously consume drugs such as Ritalin, Adderall, OxyContin, and Prozac. We consume all of this, but how many know who made the drugs and where the corporations came from? Who produces the chemicals we trust on a daily basis? These 13 corporations tend to be a blind spot in our understanding of history. Tens of thousands of American toddlers are being prescribed amphetamine, a result of this blind spot. Neos Therapeutics is responsible for candy-flavored children's amphetamine, sold as Adzenys. Shire created Adderall. An understanding of Big Pharma is conducive to a big-picture understanding of the world and power itself. It is an essential puzzle piece in understanding disease, hegemony, and health. For instance, we have Purdue. Purdue Pharma was created in 1892, New York. They are arguably responsible for the epidemic of opioid addiction in the United States, producing hydrocodone, OxyContin, fentanyl, codeine, hydromorphone, and oxycodone. Novartis is the world's largest pharmaceutical corporation by revenue, headquartered in Basel, Switzerland, a 1996 merger between Ciba Geigy and Sandoz. Novartis is responsible for many drugs, from Ritalin to LSD. Novartis has a long criminal record. They are known for animal cruelty, for drilling the heads of cats open, to experimenting on primates. Sandoz polluted the Rhine River in the 1986 Sandoz chemical spill. Novartis owned Syngenta, one of the world's largest producers of pesticides and GM seeds. Recently, Syngenta was sold to the Chinese government. State-owned ChemChina is now one of the world's largest producers of pesticides and genetically modified seeds. Novartis coerces entire countries into banning cheaper, generic versions of their cancer drugs, namely Columbia. Leaked letters revealed Novartis' control over the Senate Finance Committee, as Columbia was warned that their $450 million in Peace Columbia money would be in jeopardy if they did not crack down on generic versions of the cancer drug Gleevec. Eli Lilly was created in 1876 Indianapolis. They are responsible for Prozac, antipsychotics, cancer-causing bovine growth hormones in cows, and cancer drugs to treat the cancer that may have been given to people through Eli Lilly products. Created in 1849 New York, Pfizer is responsible for Zoloft, Xanax, SSRI antidepressants, Viagra, Advil, ChapStick, Robitussin, and more. In 2014, Pfizer spent $2.6 million paying off politicians. The Nuremberg trials of Nazi Germany produced three corporations on this list. German chemical cartel IG Farben was split into Bayer, BASF, and Hoechst, currently Sanofi. IG Farben was Hitler's largest financial backer and was vital to the extermination of millions in Auschwitz, supplying the poison gas and more. Bayer was founded in 1863 Germany. They invented mustard gas and pioneered German chemical weapons. This painting of chemical warfare was commissioned for the breakfast hall of Bayer's Karl Duisberg. He ate breakfast looking at a painting of chemical warfare. Bayer merged into IG Farben Trust in December 1925 to become Bayer again after the Nuremberg trials. Today, Bayer is known for giving thousands of children AIDS through tainted hemophiliac medicine, while internal documents prove they knew it was contaminated. Bayer bought Monsanto in 2016 to create the world's largest seed and pesticide company. Oh, and they also made aspirin. Sanofi, who absorbed Hoechst from IG Farben, is the world's largest manufacturer of vaccines. They also produce the allergy medicine Allegra. Severe psychosis in a BBC reporter following Sanofi's yellow fever vaccine is just the tip of the iceberg with this corporation. BASF was another product of IG Farben. Unfazed by the Nuremberg trials, today they are the world's largest chemical corporation. They produce raw materials for pharmaceuticals, plastics, GM seeds, and more. Johnson & Johnson is a household name, known for Splenda, Band-Aids, and baby powder. Unfortunately, their famous talcum powder actually causes ovarian cancer, and they were forced to pay $72 million to a woman who used their product religiously and got cancer. Margaret Hamburg held the highest office at the FDA as commissioner from 2009 to 2015. She ensured Johnson & Johnson's profit through minimal regulation, while her husband's hedge fund, Renaissance Technologies, owned a large stake in J&J. Hamburg's father was president of Carnegie Corporation. Both father and mother served as directors of the American Eugenics Society. Toddlers on Adderall. History of Big Pharma and the major players will provide insight into this blind spot of historical understanding.
Okay, that's just an overview to show you the lack of integrity, decency, ethics by all of these companies. I hired two young lawyers to go through for an entire year every lawsuit that was brought and settled or adjudicated and lost by Big Pharma. And one day they said it's in the hundreds of thousands of lawsuits. So why is it that if you or I commit any crime whatsoever, it's forever brandished as the moniker of who we are, and we will never outlive it, and yet these companies repeatedly destroy life, lie about it, pay a fine as the cost of doing business, and Wall Street loves them, and Congress loves them, takes money from them. They're able to get away with all this. I just want you to know this, because this has to be changed. Now, I was told we have someone on the line with multiple sclerosis. Before we go to that person, or had multiple sclerosis, I want to address some of the things that I am disappointed in. In first, the campaign debates, I don't blame the attendees, the panelists, because they don't create the questions. But certainly the questions are created and could have been incorporating more germane questions. For example, campaign finance reform and gerrymandering. Why can't we take all money out of campaigning? That question should have been asked, especially of Bloomberg and especially of Elizabeth Warren and all the others, because they're getting money, except from Bernie, from major corporatists. Why not a radical reduction of the military-industrial budget? And yet they all allowed the budget to go up again. Reduction of military's global reach in other countries. Nuclear weapons. Normalization of relationship with our main rivals. Why don't we send real ambassadors? Not, by the way, understand something about ambassadors. They tried to make it, the left is playing as if you're an idiot. You're not. The right has always played you as if you were an idiot. Well, unfortunately, both play this game. But the reality is that when a new administration starts, all ambassadors are asked to come back. They're thanked for their service. They had no, these are not a career foreign service diplomats who are skilled in speaking the language of the country they're in, understanding the politics, and being there as ambassadors of peace. These are political bundlers, meaning they bundle a lot of money, give it to the campaign, and depending upon how much they bundle is which country they're given an ambassadorship to. If you got, you know, let's say $20 million, $30 million, you could get an ambassadorship to Great Britain, France, Italy, the choice ones. If you give, you know, $3 million, Uzbekistan. So there's several hundred ambassadors. So the fact that someone chose not to want someone to stay on, it's normal for all of them. But we should only have ambassadors who are permanent foreign officers. Therefore, we know we're getting a professional class of people. Also, to deal with the Israeli-Palestinian efforts honorably and honestly, neither of which is being done. Also, stop all regime change from previous administrations and call them out. If I was a moderator and I would ask the panelists, are you aware that the United States knew that Libya did not represent a threat to the United States or anyone else? They'll either say yes or no. If they say no, and they said, and two of the people were on the Senate Intelligence Committee, they're lying. If they say yes, then why didn't you challenge it? Are you going to be responsible for the tens of thousands of deaths, the hundreds of thousands of people living in abject poverty, going from number one to nearly the last nation, country in Africa, 54 countries? So you call them out. And by the way, did you hear Joe Biden? This, I'm willing to do this, and I'm sure that we could get a couple other people to chip in. I'm willing to chip in some money, and other people can help, and we will select the nicest retirement community in Florida where you can watch television, you can talk about your body politic, and people will sit there and look at you and smile. They have dementia. They won't know what they're smiling about, but you can have an audience. And in the evening, they put a blanket across his knees and give him some milk and cookies. He'll be fine. What he shouldn't be doing is running for president. The man has lost his cognition. Why are they disguising it? That somehow 150 million Americans died from gunshot? And no one called him out. Someone should simply say, let's stop this nonsense. This is an embarrassment that a person would be allowed, encouraged, because of what he represents to Wall Street, nothing changing, and big banks, nothing changing. big pharma, nothing changes. He is the person like Clinton where nothing changes if they're elected. But it's an embarrassment to watch this fiasco. In any case, he was on the Senate Intelligence Committee, and he said, had we known, hello, you were the vice president. You don't need to be on a Senate Intelligence Committee. They get information filtered after the National Intelligence Briefing occurs every morning for the president and vice president. You get to speak with the person who has all 17 intelligence agencies that oversees all 17. You get the special briefing from each and every one. There's no person on earth that knows more about intelligence each day than you and the president. And yet no one called you out because we are dealing with functional illiterates. It's an embarrassment how low on the intellectual scale, because they're surrounded by a cadre of individuals who go and get information from them. They have their own biases. The information they're selecting is biased information. So what could possibly go wrong when you have biased people selecting biased information to give to a person who's clueless, except they're a good orator? Wow. Why don't you bring back the Glass-Steagall Act? I would ask each one that. Why don't you rein in the corporate corruption and stop? Would you stop corporate corruption and take away their charters? Big agri, big oil, big pharma, big banks. Yes or no? Would you stop all welfare, socialism to all major corporations? Yes or no? Would you repeal Citizens United? Would you stop all out of all the lobbying? Would you address the nation's collapsing infrastructure specifically and make sure that no contracts go outside of local communities and don't go to Halliburton or some of the other major corporations? And what would you do about these other conditions? They're not touching those. So that's the first thing. Then secondly, first, that everybody, unfortunately a lot of millennials, and they should know better because they're certainly computer savvy, Norway is not a socialist country, nor is Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Iceland. In fact, what they are, and let's be very specific, Norway is a constitutional parliamentary monarch. And by the way, in 2017, Norway was ranked as the world's best democracy. Sweden is a constitutional parliamentary monarchy, meaning the monarch is a, like the Queen of England, cannot involve herself or her family in politics. The sons cannot take a job that would compete. They can't open a restaurant because it would be considered unfair. They can't compete for any job that anyone else would normally have. They're there merely as a way of helping with community services and maintaining a positive image of the country. Finland is a constitutional parliamentary republic. Denmark is a constitutional parliamentary monarchy. Iceland is a constitutional parliamentary republic. Now, a case can be made that none of these are conventionally socialist by any means. But they do have things that help the citizens. In fact, they have universal health care. They have free education. They have much higher public spending. They have money for infrastructure. They have greater personal economic freedom. They have stronger government efforts and infrastructures to fight corruption, thus lower corruption in these countries than in the United States or Great Britain or Germany or France, and especially Italy. Italy's corrupt at every level. Thank God for Sophie Loren. Greater working protections in these countries. They have more flexibility in the labor market. They have better public pension plans. They have higher taxes. And people are happy giving higher taxes because they know their taxes are paying for these add-on benefits. Poor people in all these countries still have significantly more than poor people elsewhere. And each of these five Nordic countries ranks in the top seven of the UN Happiness Index, where the United States is 20th. So let's get it right, and we're giving misinformation out there otherwise. Now, I mentioned Cuba. You know what I'm going to do? This is going to take me at least 20 minutes to explain Cuba. I have employees that are in Cuban, born in Cuba, raised in Cuba, educated in Cuba, and chose to come to the United States. And they have different feelings about Cuba, Marxism, and the type of socialism, but it's an abbreviated socialism. So a lot of misinformation, including from Bernie Sanders. Bernie, you should have been with me when I visited Cuba, when the leading surgeon in a hospital who made $39 a month in U.S. what would be U.S. dollars was happy to give me the tour for 10 days. And on a different occasion, the head of the KGB in Cuba until after Russia left, and what it was really like. It's different than being one of the joyful people, you know, kumbayaing and going to the sugar cane, you know, people from the United States and around the world. That's a different view that you're getting, what you're not seeing. But I'll deal with both the pros and cons of Cuba on tomorrow's show. But I don't want to leave out the person's on the line now. Hi, what's your name, please?
Kenny Fiesla.
Hi, Kenny. Kenny, we don't have a lot of time, so please tell people about your multiple sclerosis, the fact that you had two teams of neurologists, and they diagnosed and they told you what you could expect, and you should start to prepare your home with railings and what it would be like, and then the difficulty you had coming to the very first brain health support group, and what happened 16 months later.
Okay, well, first I'd like to start off with saying that approximately 11 years ago, when I was diagnosed and learning everything, okay, my opinion is that the way multiple sclerosis is viewed in the conventional wisdom is very incorrect. In fact, I don't see much difference between multiple sclerosis or lupus or any other autoimmune disease. It's the same process happening, just different parts of the body that are thus categorized differently. So when I go to my neurologist, basically they give you, you know, the gloomiest of, you know, ideas of, you know, your projected outcome, what you have to look forward to, you know, like building a ramp up to your house. You know, as far as they're concerned, there's no cure. All there is symptom management. And they literally have no idea, and there's no interest in it because, guess what, there's no FDA-approved cure for it. So, therefore, they can't step outside that model. And I know you
Kenny, we got to tighten it up. Let me ask you questions and just give us a yes or no, okay? Were you told that it was incurable?
Yes.
Were you told that it would get bad to where you had to be finally bedridden?
Absolutely.
Okay. Approximately how much time did they say you might be able to live?
Oh, geez. They really didn't give me a time frame for that.
Okay. Did you spend 16 months in an advanced brain healing work support health support group?
I did. Changed my world.
Okay. After that, did you go back to the same neurologist, and could they find any multiple sclerosis symptoms, any of the demyelinization of your sheath? Was it remyelinated? Were you a normal, healthy person?
Indeed.
Indeed 100%. Means yes. 100%.
Yes.
Did you see another group of neurologists, and they too confirmed that you no longer had multiple sclerosis?
Yes, they did.
So you're 11 years now with no multiple sclerosis. You've been cured of multiple sclerosis, yes or no?
I've been cured of multiple sclerosis, Gary.
Have you helped other people who were interested in your journey?
As often as I can.
Okay. All right, good. That's what I wanted people to hear. Now, in the upcoming anti-aging study, we're going to have two subgroups. They're going to be on a modified protocol, a different protocol, but they're going to be there at the same time. Five and five. Five people with advanced dementia. We have those already. And I'm now inviting five people with multiple sclerosis. They have to be ambulatory. You have to be able to walk, even with a cane or a walker, that's fine. And let's see what we can do in 60 days. All right? Using no medications, using a holistic protocol, because we're going to have physicians there, we're going to have scientists from all over the world watching this, and if there's a way we can take Kenny's story, and there are others, and we can have a controlled environment where every part is controlled, so we can see in their blood, we can see in their neurological examinations, a hard objective data before and after, then this could help hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, because we're doing it in their purview. Every day, scientists are going to be watching over a closed circuit what we're doing. So they can't say, well, how do you know the person had the disease? And you have no idea how many times in my life people have come to me with stage 4 terminal cancers, end stage AIDS and other conditions. A year, 2, 3 years later, they're completely without any disease. And the doctor says, well, you must not have had the disease to begin with. Yeah, they had the disease. And now they should sue those doctors if they said that they had the disease, treated them for the disease, had no success, and now say that they're cured, but they never had the disease originally. That's malpractice. And if they say, well, it was a spontaneous remission. Well, we've done our homework. We've gone to the scientific literature and asking, where are the spontaneous remission cures for all these diseases? And we can't find any. So they play these games because they do not have the humility or the spiritual base in their life or the ethics to acknowledge there are things in this world that they have not yet mastered. There are many truths, many approaches to help people, but they want to be the only one and control it and condemn and deny anyone else that opportunity. That's why we're challenging Wikipedia. And by the way, go to Wikipedia, read the articles, share them with everyone. And I want to thank one of our listeners who just sent me an email today, John. John says, I don't feel I'm qualified to know what to do when it comes to sending information out about Wikipedia. And I said, John, you don't have to have any reference. You don't have to be a doctor, a PhD, or anything else to share information. Just categorize down a page what we show are wrong with the statements on Wikipedia about alternative therapy. That's what you share. All right, everyone? I'll have more to share tomorrow. I'm going to go into depth about Cuba and what it is. I'm going to explain the difference between China, Russia, Yugoslavia, Cuba, and what they actually have, and it will hopefully clear the air from the misinformation that's permeating out there, those who don't want Bernie, and or what Bernie says himself. I believe he's completely wrong on certain issues, and I'll discuss that tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.